This is The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott. You can find our podcast on iTunes. Our show today is about preservation, and our next story takes us to a museum where some of America's most innovative ideas are preserved. Early versions of prosthetic legs, for example, but not all of these ideas worked out in the long run. Who remembers the fold-out couch that turns into a piano, for example? In the earliest days of the American patent system, inventors were required to submit not just a sketch and description of their ideas, but also toy-like models that were kept on file. Todd Bookman visited a recently expanded collection of these patent models.
Are you the foremost expert in the world on patent models?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I'd say that. I would say one of a couple.
Don't let her modesty fool you. Deborah Hughes knows a ton about patent models. Her home base is the Hagley Museum and Library, located in Delaware, an old DuPont property straddling the Brandywine River. The Hagley, after receiving a big donation earlier this year, now has close to 5,000 models in its collection. But that's still just a small sampling of the roughly 200,000 the U.S. Patent Office received between 1790 and 1880.
They represent the brilliant minds of Americans in the 1800s and these great ideas they had on a multitude of perceived problems and everything from toys to furniture to medical to sports to everything.
Yeah, everything you can think of is captured in model form. The mason jar, different kinds of locks and keys, a lifeboat, roller skates, tons of different mouse traps, all no bigger than 12 inches by 12 inches by 12 inches. Some are made of wood, some of different metals and fabrics. They have moving parts, tiny gears, dovetail joints. They're honestly fascinating.
Why do you think we're so drawn to them?
I think it's the miniature and the toy look of them. And frankly, some of them are pretty stinking cute.
The patent models were big hits a century ago, too. The U.S. Patent Office would put models out on display for the public to see. It was like the Consumer Electronics Show or some other trade event, where the inventions of the future were unveiled and debated.
By the middle of the 1800s, over 100,000 people a year in Washington would go to the patent office and see these magnificent patent models grouped together in like topics. You'd see hundreds of washing machine models together, and it was quite the outing.
In sifting through the Hagley's collection, visitors can see industry's hopes for the future. There's all manner of different machines and tools and engines, but there are also more practical improvements meant to solve the challenges of the day.
During this time period, most of these would have been aimed for soldiers from the Civil War.
Deborah Hughes is pointing to a miniature artificial leg cast in brass with joints at the ankle and knee. Leather straps would be used to attach it to the thigh. It is one of many prosthetic devices patented in the 1860s.
Before the Civil War, it was basically your carved peg leg, which is what you would have had. So this is a big improvement.
It's unclear if this leg, or really most of these inventions, went on to be commercially successful. There were lots of products, both hits and misses, geared toward the domestic tasks of women of that time. Though there's a notable lack of contributions from women. Just a tiny fraction can be traced to female inventors. Though Hugh says that stat shortchanges their role.
The record is spotty with women invention, and a number of years ago, they pulled together a list of women inventors. But the hardest part about that is that sometimes women invented under like an initial and a last name because they didn't want it to look like they were a woman.
A complete record of inventors and their models is also hampered by major fires that ripped through the patent offices in 1836 and then again in 1877. By 1880, Congress drops the model requirement, in part because it was just becoming a logistical nightmare to store and catalog them.
They basically ran out of space.
Alan Rothschild is a retired pharmacist from outside of Syracuse, New York. After Congress donated some of the more notable models to the Smithsonian, it put the rest up for auction. Over the past 90 years or so, they've been bought and sold, and Rothschild, sort of unexpectedly, wound up assembling the country's largest private collection.
So when I found these models, I was fascinated by them, and I bought a few, and then I bought a few more, and then I bought a whole lot more.
Earlier this year, Rothschild chose the Hagley Museum as the recipient for his 4,000-plus models, where they're being cataloged and readied for display. To him, they represent the heart of the American economy.
You know, the patent system is what spawned the Industrial Revolution in this country. I mean, there's absolutely, I don't think anybody will deny that. There is no question about it. This is what made the country successful.
Rothschild also makes the case that the models are still relevant today, that every app, pharmaceutical, or silicon-based breakthrough is really just an improvement on the technology that came before it. For The Pulse, I'm Todd Bookman.